relationships. You know, most of us come to know Jesus Christ because we either see Christ in one of our friends or family members, or we're introduced to church. Maybe a friend invited us to church and we heard about God. And, you know, God works through relationships. The way he talks about it is through covenant. You know, he makes a covenant. You know, we read through all through the Old Testament. You know, God's making covenants with Abraham, with Noah, and we see different covenants all through the Bible. It's relationships that he's building. And the best covenant of all is the one we have through Jesus Christ. And what I love about, you know, the new covenant, or the New Testament as it says it, you know, you look in the Old Testament and you see how, you know, he made a covenant with Abraham. And Abraham, you know, messed some stuff up. You know, and it seems like all of the covenants we see that God made with man, man messed a lot of stuff up and goofed some stuff up. See, the beautiful thing about the new covenant is it's a covenant between God and Jesus. And that can never be messed up. And we get to have access to the covenant as we trust in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is human like us. He's all God and he's all man. But as we partner with Jesus, as we make him our Lord and Savior, we get to be part of the covenant between God and Jesus. And that's the new covenant. That one's never going to get messed up. That's how we have right relationship. Because in our own works, we fall way short. But Jesus never fell short. He never will fall short. So that covenant is everlasting. I'm not here to talk about that. But relationships are important. You know, relationships can be one of the most fulfilling things in your life. How many of y'all found that to be true? Whether it be your spouse, through friends, you know, relationships are very rewarding. But at the same time, they can be very hurtful and very painful. But see, that's how things work. The things that are most important to us can hurt us the easiest and the quickest. See, God even said relationships are important. In Genesis 2:18, you know, he says this. He said, Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. So I will make him a helper who is just right for him. See, God knew from the very beginning that we need relationship. We need to have that human-to-human contact. And it's one of the most fulfilling things that we can have in our lives. So if relationships are the most important and can be possibly the most painful thing in our lives, we need to learn how to manage and protect our relationships. We need to learn how to manage and protect our relationships. See, our key scripture that we're going to use for this series is found in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else. And that's what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks, is how do we guard our hearts? How do we protect what's most important to us? How do we do that? And we're doing that through guardrails. We're going to learn how to build guardrails in our lives, so that we can protect the important relationships, that we can protect relationships from outside influences that will damage relationships. And we're going to talk about several different relationships over the next few weeks. We're going to talk about our relationship with God, our relationship with our spouse, kids, coworkers, friends. We're going to talk about a bunch of different relationships and how guardrails need to be a part of each and every relationship that we have. Some of it is to protect the relationship. Some of it is to protect stuff from coming into the relationship. And they're all different. And in the last week, we're going to talk about protecting our time. Because that is one of the few things that once it's spent, you never get it back. We only have so many hours in a day. So we only have so many days to live. It is the one commodity that we can't make more of. And so we need to learn how to protect our time in that. So guardrails. We know what guardrails are, but what are they designed to do? Now I want everybody to close their eyes real quick. Just do this little exercise. Imagine that you're driving down the road. And nobody fall asleep while we do this, all right? Just keep your eyes closed, but don't fall asleep. I know it's early. All right, in your mind, you're driving down the road. All right? Everybody grab your steering wheel and start driving. Not everybody's doing it. I have my eyes open. You don't. All right. Some of y'all are passengers, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. And so we're driving down the road. You know, if you're a cool young guy, you're doing it like this. You know, oh, wait, y'all have your eyes closed. And the younger you are, the further your seat leans back. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, you're driving down the road. In my mind, I'm driving down Highway 7, just south of Jasper. Some of y'all know the area, close to the Arkansas Grand Canyon. You're driving down the road, and the leaves are changing. The scenery is beautiful. You come to this overlook on your left, and it's just amazing just to see God's creation and what he's done. Now, let's pause that picture for a second, and let's look at the edge of the road. What do you see? There's a guardrail right there on the edge of the road. Now, what is that guardrail there for? See, most times we go through, we're driving down the road, and we don't notice the guardrails. You can open your eyes now. Someone still has them closed, nudge them, they're asleep. But lots of times, we don't notice the guardrails as we're driving down the road. But they're there for a reason. Especially, you know, you're looking over this beautiful overlook, and it's amazing, and just the leaves and the, oh, it's just so beautiful. And you don't realize there's a guardrail right there protecting you. Guardrails are there to warn you of danger. As you're driving down the road, you'll see a guardrail and you think, I don't know that you consciously think that, but you think, there's something dangerous on the other side of that they don't want me to get into. Maybe it's a cliff. It drops off. It might be a pond over there. It might just be a sharp curve or something. You know, that might stop you from going into the ditch. They're there to protect your vehicle from going into dangerous areas. It's also there to protect nature from all these crazy drivers out there that's not paying attention. You know, there's guardrails there. We were actually up around the Buffalo River area a few weeks ago, and I was kind of thinking through the series then, and if you've ever driven around up there around Jasper, between Jasper and Ponca, just some beautiful scenery, beautiful overlooks up there. And you hit these big curves, you know, and have huge drop-offs, like, right at the edge. And you're like, man, I'm glad they put a guardrail there, you know. And you see people that has actually hit it, and you think, I bet they're really glad they put that guardrail there. But we were driving up this one road. It was just a dirt road going up to Hawksbill Craig. It's called Cave Mountain Road, dirt road. And you literally just start going up the side of this hill. And literally, road, cliff, Buffalo River. No guardrails. And I was nervous. I mean, I was like hugging this side of the road over here. And I mean, there's like 10 feet. And I was still like, oh, good. You know, I don't want to fall off that. You know, you're dead if you fall off that. And it made me nervous not having the guardrail there. And guardrails are there to protect us. But I actually have a definition for guardrail. It's like the official definition, I guess, of the Arkansas Highway Department. I didn't look it up on their website. But anyway, the definition, it's a system designed to keep vehicles from straying into dangerous and off-limit areas. It's a system designed to keep vehicles from straying into dangerous or off-limit areas. The key word in there is straying. Because nobody purposely drives off a cliff. I mean, nobody purposely drives into the ditch. Nobody purposely does that. But it's something that we do and we don't even realize we're doing it. We just get close to the edge and we go. And there's where we have to be careful in our life, is our straying. Because it's so easy to be focused on what's ahead and not realize that you might be going a little left. You might be going a little right. So we have to be careful. We must be purposeful and protecting what is important to us. We must be purposeful in protecting what is important to us. Remember our scripture, Proverbs 4:23? Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. We've got to build guardrails into our hearts and into our lives. We must do it. Let's personalize this definition of guardrail real quick. Let's say it's a system designed to keep me from straying into dangerous or off-limit areas. See, in most relationships, there are areas that you can get into that are dangerous or off-limits. See, there's only two relationships that we'll ever have that have all access to our lives. And that's your relationship with God and the relationship with your spouse. All other relationships out of those two have dangerous and off-limit areas. And if we're not purposeful in building guardrails into those relationships, then those relationships can damage. They can really hurt your life. They can ruin your life. So we have to be careful. But see, unfortunately, lots of times we build guardrails into our relationship with God as well that don't need to be there. Saying, God, you can have access to this part of my life, but this over here, you know, this is mine. You can't have that, God. I mean, we don't purposefully say that. We don't, you know, God, you can't have my money, you know, or you can't have this relationship, or, you know, but we should give God all access to our lives. Put no guardrails up within that relationship, but put a lot around that relationship to protect things from coming in to that. But we'll talk about all that in the different relationships in the coming weeks. The goal of this series is to help you set up some guardrails to help you from straying away, to build some guardrails and to keep you from straying into those dangerous and off-limit areas in relationships. It's going to be a process. It's going to be something that you're going to have to think about. Think through some things. Be very purposeful in doing this. We got to be purposeful in protecting what's important to us. So how are we going to do this? What's the process going to be? Let me kind of lay out the process for you today. And I'm going to give you some homework. Everybody likes homework, right? I mean, y'all, most of you are out of school now, so y'all don't have anything else better to do when you're at home. So I'm going to give you some homework to do. No, I don't want to call it homework because people feel like that about it. I want to give you an assignment that'll help you protect what's important to your life. And we're going to answer four questions this week. Four questions that are not actually easy questions to ask yourself. Because I actually did this a few days ago, and I spent about an hour doing it. You know, just thinking through my life and answering the questions, and it wasn't exactly easy. Some of the stuff I've never actually thought about. So let me give you the four questions that I want you to process through this week. Number one, what is most important to you? What are the most important things in your life? What is it that you want to protect? Because there are some things in your life that you want to protect no matter what. I mean, it doesn't matter what comes at you. I'm going to make sure this thing is protected. There's some things in your life that will be like, well, I'll protect it, to a certain extent, but, I'm not going to put too much time and effort. And that's fine. You know, it's determining our priorities. What is important? Let me say it a different way. Who is important in your life? Since we're talking about relationships, who is important in your life? Who do you want to protect in your life? Number two question we need to answer. What do you want to protect these things from? What are the dangers? What are the off-limit things in life that you want to protect these things from? If one of your priorities is your relationship with God, what do you want to protect that relationship from? What are some dangers that might damage that relationship? What are some things that could hurt? What are the dangerous areas? What are the off-limit areas? Because when you get into a relationship with God, there are some off-limit areas. Not God towards you, but you towards God. What are some things that you need to cut out of your life to guardrail against in your life that will hurt your relationship with God? What do you want to protect the relationship from? Number three, how are you going to do that? How are you going to protect that relationship? You know what you want to protect it from, so how are you going to do it? How are you going to protect this relationship? You need to have a plan of action. One thing that I figured out when I was younger in life, and I've tried to live by it, and it's helped me a bunch, is that you need to know what you're going to do before something happens. See, my football coach taught me this. He said, you know, you need to watch out for certain things. You know, if you're on the defensive line, you know, you got to watch the guy in front of you. How is he lining up? You know, is he down in his three-point stance, or is he kind of sitting up? You know, how are his feet? You got to watch the running back. What's the running back doing? What's the quarterback doing? Your football coach teaches you to watch certain things. And depending on what those people do, depends on how you act. Okay? You know, if the lineman's, you know, sitting like this, you know, it's going to be a pass. You know, he's going to jump up and he's going to pass block. And so you got to read that beforehand and know what you're going to do. If he's going to pass block, I need to know that I'm not going to just run right at him. I need to go around him, you know. And you know, my football coach taught me some good things in life. And we need to do the same thing. We need to know what to look for in life. We need to have a plan of action when we see these things happen. Is everybody getting that? We need to know what we're going to do before it happens. One thing that I decided when I was younger, when I was dating, is that I'm going to save myself for marriage. I'm not going to have sex before marriage. I want, you know, my first time to be with my wife on my wedding night. That was what I wanted. That was my goal. Now, I could have had that goal and done nothing else with it and probably failed. But I had a plan of action, too. I knew what I was going to do when those situations came up. I knew how I was going to react. I predetermined my actions. And see, that's what we got to do in life. If we're going to protect what's important to us, we need to know what is important to us. What do we want to protect them from? And when this situation comes up, what am I going to do? Because there's so many times that a crisis comes up in our lives and we're just lost. We just go into panic mode because I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how to fix this. I don't know what to do. Well, let's determine right now, while everything is calm, what we're going to do. So when that situation comes up, you might start panic mode and be like, whoa, hang on a second. I know what I'm going to do. And you execute the plan. We got to have a plan of action into what we're doing. So we need to know what's important. We need to know what we want to protect these important things from. We want to know how we're going to protect. And the last question I want us to look at today, and this is the painful one. This is the tough one. What are my weaknesses and my vulnerabilities? What are my weaknesses? Where is it in my life that I'm weak, that I know I struggle in? Where are the areas in my life that, you know, when I know I get too close, man, I just struggle and I fall into that temptation, or you know, I go back to drinking, or I go back to this thing, and I know those areas in my life. See, guys, we've got to know ourselves. I know the areas in my life that I am weak. And I know that I have to build in some protections in my life, some plans of action in my life, so when that crops up, not if, but when, because it will come up, when that comes up in my life, I know how I'm going to react. Do I always do it right? Goodness, no. But I have a plan of action that I can fall back on when those times hit. What are the areas I'm weak in? What is it that I easily fall to? When do I usually do this? Is there a certain time of day that I'm particularly vulnerable? Is there a particular time of the year? When is it that I know that these things are going to come against me? Where am I at when this happens? Is it, you know, when I'm hanging around certain people? Is it when I'm by myself? Is it if I'm at this certain place that reminds me of this thing that happened? And where? Where am I weak and where am I vulnerable? Why does this happen? What's the process that goes on in my mind when I'm facing these things? I'm starting to sound like a counselor or something here. But these are the things that we need to think about. You know, what are my thought processes when I see this area of weakness or vulnerability in my life? What am I thinking about? You know, what are the thoughts that come up? What are the feelings that come up in my heart when these things happen? What are the actions that I perform when this thing comes up in my life? Because most of our life, we live by habit. We live by automatic response. And I just recently finished a book called The Power of Habit. And it really opened my eyes to a lot of things that go on in my life that I don't understand. And there's lots of things in our lives that seem to pop up and we react a certain way. And we know we shouldn't do it that way, but that's the way we do it. It's just natural to us. And there are habits that we have in our lives. And this is especially true in our weaknesses and our vulnerable areas, is that when this thing comes up, this cue that happens, this trigger that happens that brings this weakness to the forefront, and you're faced with this situation, there's always a cue or a trigger, and there's always an action that we perform, the habit, whether it be a good habit or a bad habit. Most times it's bad habits, unfortunately. There's this thing that we perform, and there's a certain reward that we get for performing that action that's triggered by this cue, and then there's the consequence. And it's something that we all go through in all of our habits. You know, I pray that we can all build good habits in our relationship. When this weakness pops up, that we have a good action that we perform to avoid falling into this temptation, and we get this reward and we get a good consequence in our lives. I know I'm speaking past some of you guys and I've lost some of you guys, but this is really important that we understand the process, because, you know, it's great that we can figure out what our weaknesses are and our vulnerabilities are, but how do we deal with them? We got to change what we do. We got to recognize when this comes up that we need to change our actions and get a better reward and a better consequence in our lives. And that's what these guardrails are about protecting what's important to us. And as we think through these questions, we'll begin to see that, you know, hey, this is really important to me. And I don't want anything to hurt this thing or this relationship in my life. And these are the things that are not good, that I want to protect them from. And this is what I'm going to do when it happens. And I went through this process earlier this week, and I want to read you my list to kind of let you know what I'm talking about, because this is very powerful. You know, this can be a very powerful tool, and this is what I want all of you guys to do this week, is to write out your lists. Answer these four questions. Literally write it out. There's something about writing something down that makes it stick, that makes it like official in you. And so I have three things in my life that are most important to me. Number one is my relationship with God. That is the number one thing in my life that's the most important thing, the thing that I want to protect most. Number two is my wife. The second most important thing to me is my wife. The third is my kids. These are the most important things in my life. These are the things that my life revolve around. If anything happened to either any of these three relationships, there would be a lot of hurt, a lot of damage, and a lot of pain that I don't want to go through. And so I'm going to be purposeful in protecting these relationships. I'm going to be very purposeful. So let me read my list to you. My most important relationship is with God. What do I want to protect this relationship from? I want to protect it from any idols that try to come into this relationship. You know, God is supposed to be number one. He says, don't have any other gods before me. And, you know, I know for a fact that, you know, Buddha's not going to go before God or you know, any of these other major religion gods. But there's small idols that can sneak into our relationship with God. There's these small things that can jump up ahead of God in our lives. And I want to protect against that I don't get anything above my relationship with God, including my wife and my kids. I never want to put my wife above God. I never want to put my kids above God. Because if my relationship with God is not right, then my relationship with my wife is not right. My relationship with my kids will not be right. So I have to keep it in proper order that I don't want to get any idols in my relationship with God. I want to protect against becoming lukewarm and complacent in my relationship with God. All of us know how easy it is just to kind of be like, oh, you know, yeah, that's important. And see, there's a big difference in saying what's important and what is actually important. See, we can look at how we spend our time and we can tell what's important to us. And you know, I know that we usually spend 40 hours at work, and, you know, that's something that we have to do. We spend so much time at school, and I understand that. But what I'm talking about is when it's your time. See, when you're at your work, that's your employer's time. That's you got to give that time to them. But when it's your time, how do you spend your time? When it's you, when you're in control of your time, how do you spend your time? And one of the things I want to protect against is complacency in my relationship with God. What is my plan? What am I going to do? Number one, I'm going to consistently be in the Word of God and in prayer. I want to be consistent in that. Not as a works thing, not as a, you know, this is what I got to do to keep my relationship with God. But I want to enjoy my time when I'm reading the Word of God. I want to enjoy my time when I'm praying, when I'm worshiping God. I want to enjoy the relationship. And I want to be consistent in doing that. And I believe if I'm consistent in those two things, and these two habits, good habits that I'm trying to build into my life, if I'm consistent in these habits, then I'm going to build a guardrail around my relationship with God where my mind is on His Word. My mind is on Him and what He wants me to do. And if I can put that first place in my life and build that guardrail around it, I'm going to be less likely to let another idol come in ahead of God. I'm going to be less likely to become complacent in my relationship with God. What's another plan? I want to be open. This is a tough one. I want to be open to conviction and the rebuke of the Holy Spirit. I want to be open for Him to show me my wrongs. For Him to openly correct me when I'm going into a dangerous or off-limit area in my life. I want to constantly be pushing and pursuing the next level of maturity in my relationship with God. See, one thing that I've realized that, you know, a lot of people, they'll get saved and they hang around the cross. And the cross is a wonderful place because that's where our life changes. But He doesn't want us to stay at the cross at our salvation experience. But He has so much more for us, so many different levels of growth that we can get closer and closer to Him. And I constantly want to be pushing and pursuing the next level closer to God. And my last thing I want to do, I want to continually be learning and growing in my personal life. Yeah, it's important to be reading the Word of God and praying and pursuing the spiritual part, but I want to grow personally as well. I want to grow as a speaker. I want to grow as a father. I want to grow as a husband. I want to grow in every area of my life. Because they say, if you're not growing, then you're going backwards. And I definitely don't have any room to go backwards, let me tell you. I need to be pushing forward and growing that way. Number one relationship is God. My second most important thing to me is my wife. Number two is my wife. What do I want to protect that from? From any affairs. I've seen so many, especially in ministry, we've seen so many pastors and spiritual leaders fall into the temptations and have affairs. And I don't know what it is, but it seems like that seems to be the thing that, you know, pastors that fall, church leaders that fall, it seems to be affairs. And that's one thing that I definitely want to protect my wife from is any kind of affair, whether it be a physical affair, emotional affair, any kind of thing that would damage that relationship with her. And so I have to build in things in my life that protect me from getting too close to women who are not my wife. And it's a purposeful thing that I have to do. And in ministry, that is really hard because, you know, that's my heart is to help hurting people. It's my heart to reach out to people and be there for people. And lots of times you can cross a boundary. You can cross a guardrail really easily when you're investing in somebody emotionally and building them up. And it's real easy for them to look at you as their savior. And you can cross a boundary really fast. And so that's one thing I try my best to protect is my relationship with my wife. I will never be alone with another woman behind a closed door. If a woman wants to come talk to me in my office, that door's staying open. It's not closing. I want for someone to be able to walk by and see what's going on in my office. It's a guardrail that I build into my life to protect. I don't want to emotionally hurt my wife. You know, there's things that can hurt us that are short of affairs, but, you know, you can still emotionally hurt somebody. I never want to emotionally hurt my wife. I don't want unresolved conflict in my marriage. So many marriages are falling apart these days, and lots of times it's because there's just unresolved conflict. Just there's pride. You know, I'm right. I don't care. I'm not giving in. I'm right. My marriage is way more important than being right. My love for my wife is stronger than the need to be right or to be justified or whatever. It's more important than that. So what's my plan? Never become emotionally involved with another woman. Never be behind a closed door with another woman. Never go out to lunch alone with another woman. Always be man enough to admit when I'm wrong and to avoid being wrong on purpose. One thing that we try to live by in our marriage is found in Ephesians 4:26. It says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. He says, in your anger, do not sin, and don't let the sun go down on your anger, and don't give the devil a foothold. See, so many times in our marriages, we have a big fight. It always happens right before bed too, doesn't it? You know, you're both tired, you've both been working, playing with kids, and you get in this big fight right before bed, and it's so easy, just whatever, just go to sleep, leave me alone. You're given a foothold for the devil to come in and work in your marriage while you're asleep. And that's one thing that we've tried to do is always resolve our conflict before we go to bed. Because you're not going to sleep anyway. I mean, if you fight before you go to bed, you're not going to get any sleep anyway. So you might as well just go ahead and hash it out and get it over with. So never allow lust to take root in my heart. These are protections that I try to build into my marriage. The last one is my kids that I wrote out. What do I want to protect my kids from? Negative influences. I'm going to try to be very purposeful in knowing who is influencing my kids. Who are my kids around? What's going on with my kids? Who's speaking into their lives? Who are they hanging out with? I want to protect them from emotional scars. You know, we've been doing men's fraternity here in this church. And that's, you know, the first session that we went through. It was talking about you know, the scars that parents put, you know, give their kids. And we had to look back into our own lives and evaluate our relationship with our parents and see the scars, see the things that happen to us in our life. Not just parents, but, you know, different influencers in our lives. And it's amazing how something can happen to us at 5 years old that affect us all of our life. Because we don't deal with it. Or maybe we don't recognize what it is. And that's one thing I'm going to try to protect my kids from is me personally emotionally scarring my kids. Giving them, I don't want my kids to have a daddy hole. I don't want them to have a missing part where they have to try to go find it somewhere else that's something I was supposed to give them. The love that they need, the assurance in their life, knowing that they're important. I don't want them to be missing that because it's something that I failed to do. I'm going to try to protect them against self-esteem issues. That's one thing that I've dealt with all my life is just I just never thought I was good enough. I mean, it didn't matter who it was. I could always see something better than them than that was in me. And that made them superior to me. I don't want my kids to have to go through that. I don't want my kids to have to think that they're less than anybody else. I'm going to try to keep them from any physical dangers. So what's my plan? Always give my kids unconditional love. Always be there for them. Always tell them that I'm proud of them, that I love them, and that I believe in them. We see a beautiful scene when Jesus is getting baptized. And I've never really thought about this before until men's fraternity. But we see this beautiful scene of Jesus being baptized. And you know, when he comes up, you know, we see the scene of the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And God said this. He says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. listen to what he has to say. That's a very powerful statement. This is my son. I'm proud of him. I love him so much. He's got something to say. He's important. Listen to what he has to say. That is very powerful. Something that I want to speak into my kids, that I'm proud of you. I love you. You're going to do great things as long as you're going with God. We need to be speaking that into our kids' lives. And I'm not going to answer the fourth question out here. What are my weaknesses and vulnerabilities? That's something between me and God. And so I'm going to leave that there. But I want you guys to write those four things down. What is important to me? What do I want to protect them from? What's my plan of action? How am I going to do it? What are my weaknesses and vulnerabilities? I want you to write these out this week. It'll be so huge in your life that if you do this, it'll change your perspective on life almost instantly. And it'll give you a sense of purpose. It'll give you a sense of owning your life. Because it's up to you to guard your own heart. So you can come to church all your life. And you can hear all the great sermons. And you can hear all this stuff. You can have the best Sunday school teachers and the best life group. But it's up to you to guard your heart. It's up to you to build guardrails in your own relationships. It's up to you. Are you going to take on the responsibility? Or are you just going to let life happen? Let me tell you something. Life's too precious to just let life happen to you. Things are going to happen anyway, but there's a lot of things that can be avoided if we're purposeful in protecting what's important to us. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you, God, for just loving us so much. God, thank you that, God, that we're important to you. God, and you've made provisions for us. God, you've built in guardrails for us. God, you provided Jesus so that we can have salvation, so that we can have a relationship with you. God, so that we can spend eternity with you one day. God, you said that as we seek your kingdom, we put you first. God, that you'll take care of us. God, you've provided all of these things for us. God, help that to be a model for us in our lives, to build guardrails in our own life. God, to protect those things that are important to us. God, you've put it in our own abilities. You gave the responsibility to us, God, to protect. God, you gave us free will to decide what we want to decide, to do whatever we want to do. God, I just pray that we're just very purposeful, that we take that seriously, God, and use that for your glory. God, I just pray that as we process through this week, God, as we think about what's important, God, what do we want to protect from? What are the dangerous areas? What are the areas that are off limits, God, and build in action plans in our lives, God, and evaluate our weaknesses. God, I just pray that you're right in the middle of that process, God, that you're quickening our minds on the best things that we can do, God, and the best actions to take. Father, we just pray for your wisdom. God, I just pray for, God, the motivation just for every single person here to do that. God, to make the commitment to work the plan. God, thank you for your provision. God, thank you for giving us strong minds. God, thank you for giving us the everything that we need, God, to live life for you. God, to live life that glorifies you. Father, I just thank you that as we leave here today, God, we go in your strength. God, doing your plan, working the things that you need us to work. God, above all, that we just bring glory and praise to you, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. You're dismissed.